I was thinking as I was sitting there that I got a text from Brother Philip earlier today. He sounds like he's doing pretty good spirits. He said he was going to be tuning into the live stream. Brother Roger said Jenna would probably be on, and maybe Brother Terry and Sister Mabel and others that just can't be here. Hopefully the live stream is working well today. We don't know all the time, but I hope it is. And I was encouraged by Brother Phillips' text. Just never know when somebody reaches out and says something, and it's a blessing. And isn't technology wonderful? I mean, from that aspect, I mean, we can just reach out so easy. It's a blessing. So there's others probably watching too, I hope. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Why did this thing just lost connection? I don't know what to do about this. Let's see. I don't know. I'm just going to push buttons and, you know, I'm flying an airplane here and I'm pushing buttons. I don't really know what's going to happen. Man, I hope we didn't lose the live stream. It's just circling here. All right, so Hebrews chapter 11. The title of the message is Living by Faith with a Purpose. We're going to look at one verse here, and verse 1. And I'm going to try to remember to take my time and wait for it to load on the screen, because I know a lot of you like to look at the screen. And so I'm going to try to wait until it appears on the screen before I read it, but you know this verse. Of course, this is the great faith chapter in the Bible, the Hall of Faith, like we call it. And we're going to learn a little bit about this and living by faith with a purpose. So what is faith? We're going to break this down and examine it. But it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, what does that mean? The first three words, look at it. Now, faith is. He is about to tell us the definition of faith. What is faith? Faith is, definition, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But what does that mean? What does that mean exactly? So we're going to break it down. We're going to look at the word substance, and we're going to look at the word hoped for. Pardon me, I have to keep my mouth from drying out too much. So, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance, listen to this, the word substance means setting under. When you look in Strong's Concordance and you look up the word substance, it literally means setting under, like the post and beams of a deck that's 14 feet off the ground. So I had a house in Georgia, and you go in the front door at ground level, and you go out the back door, and you're 10 feet off the ground. Well, they built a deck so that we could go out the back door. And I looked at that deck from the door, and it looked pretty good. And I was thinking, you know, I'm really not going to know if this deck is any good or not unless I step out on it. I believed it would hold me, but I wasn't sure until I tried it. I tested it. And so I stepped out on it, and it was solid. It held me. So I jumped up and down on it, and it didn't move back and forth. And it didn't wobble, and it didn't collapse, and I was happy. It worked. And that's what this setting under means. The word substance it means solid. It means concrete assurance, confidence. That's very important. Okay, because it says right here, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't see it. We can't feel it. We can't touch it. We can't prove it. But our whole eternal hope is based on faith, something we can't see or prove. But nevertheless, we have concrete assurance. When I stepped out on that deck and I tested that deck, I put my belief that it would hold me to the test, and I proved it. And that's what we do with God's Word and with the Bible and with faith. It's concrete assurance that what you believe in will hold you. Does what you believe in hold you? It does if it's based on the Bible. It does not if it's based on anything else. So, what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith involves believing what you can't see or prove, and the word hope here, breaking it down further, the word hope means to expect, to confide. Look, we have put our hope, our faith in Christ, expecting something. We confide in Him. Confide is the root word of confidence. Our confidence is in Christ. Amen? It's not in, my confidence isn't in me. Your confidence shouldn't be in you. It's in Christ. And specifically, His deity. Deity means He is God. So, our confidence is in Christ, in His deity, in His virgin birth. Because only God can be born of a virgin. And that's important. That's a tenet of our faith. It's vital to our faith. His resurrection. Only God can raise from the dead, never to die again. We believe that. If you're trusting Christ as your Savior, you believe these things. We're trusting in His deity, in Christ, His virgin birth, His resurrection, and His promises found in His Word. You know, there's a lot of promises in the Word of God, amen? Lots of promises. Things you can't necessarily prove. You can't necessarily see them. But we're trusting in them. Our hope, we're looking at the word hope here, our hope is confidence in God's character, whether we can see or prove things or not. Now, there's a big difference between being able to trust an almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God or ourselves. Now, folks, I don't know, with all these people here, I don't know how many of you are trusting in yourself. We need to trust in God. Trust Christ. So, what is it? Substance is a concrete assurance of the things hoped for, the confidence that we have, in the promises, in His deity. It's concrete assurance, even though we can't see it or prove it. Now, I said that the title is Living by Faith with Purpose. So let's talk about the purpose for a minute. The purpose is very important. What does with purpose mean? It means that based on that faith that we have, okay, we align our daily life, our decisions, our identity with God's will and God's Word. Rather than relying on what we see, feel, or understand. And there's a big difference. There's a lot of people that feel a certain way. They believe a certain way because they've been taught that. They think they're right. They're sure that they're right. But it's based on nothing but other than what they think or what they believe or what they see or feel. Our faith isn't like that. We have concrete assurance in Christ. That's the difference. So the purpose means that We align ourselves. This is our purpose. We have a purpose for being here. And that is to align ourselves, our daily life, our decisions, our identity with God's word and his will, not anything that we want to do. Not just anything we want to do. Does that make sense? It's a mindset, a lifestyle rooted in trust in God, obedience to his word, and spiritual vision. Do you have spiritual vision? What is spiritual vision? We need to understand what spiritual vision is. But when we are trusting him and obeying his word and we have spiritual vision, that's living by faith with a purpose. There are people that live life with no purpose whatsoever. They have no goals, no ambition, no desire, no life. Man, we ought to be filled with purpose because of what Christ has done for us. And so that's why I say living by faith with a purpose. So, so faith is trusting in something that we can't see or prove. I'm going to give you three examples, and I'm going to tell you what they are right now so you don't have to wait on them. Things that we are trusting in that we can't see. One, divine guidance. Two, spiritual truths. And three, fulfillment of promises, which are prophecies. And I want to just go through these just real quick. These are good. These are important. Now look, to be sure, we could spend all day talking about other things that prove, you know, that we don't see, can't prove that we are supposed to do in our lives. I'm just taking these three. So turn to Psalm 37 and verse 23. Divine guidance. Our purpose in looking at divine guidance, we're talking about purpose, life with a purpose. Our purpose is this, to be willing to go where God leads and do what he says. That would be a good purpose, don't you think? To go, be willing to go where he leads and do what he says? That would be a good purpose. Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered or guided or led by the Lord. You hear people pray all the time, Lord, lead, guide, and direct. That's a good prayer. That's what we want to do. We want to let him lead and guide us and direct us. And he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, the good man, delights in his, God's way. The good man delights in God's way. And he asks God to order his steps. He wants to follow in God's steps. That's the purpose we ought to live our lives by. And this divine guidance, this is not something we can see or prove at the time. Okay? Later, we can see how God worked things out. So when I think about my steps being ordered by the Lord, I think about my salvation experience. It goes like this. In 1982, I had to lose my job in the oil field to go to the Army. I had to get to the Army so I could get to Fort Benning and go to jump school. I had to go to jump school so that I could get to Fort Bragg. I had to get to Fort Bragg so Major Teachee could come into my barracks the first day I was there and invite me to church. I had to get to church so I could hear the gospel. And I had to hear the gospel so I could get saved. I had nothing to do with any of that. I mean, look, at the time, I thought, here's what I'm going to do. I got laid off from the oil field. I'm going to go to the Army. That was my decision. Was it me or was it God? He had to get me to the Army. And then I was in basic training and I said, well, I think I want to be a paratrooper, so I'm going to join the Airborne. I got to go to jump school. That thought had never crossed my mind until that point. It was out of the blue, but God had a plan. So look, I was a pawn on a chessboard being moved around at God's will. And let me assure you, I was definitely not a good man. I was a sinner. And if and anybody that is a sinner, unregenerate, not born again, not saved, you are just like me, an enemy of God. We don't like to think of ourselves in those terms. I never thought about it. But in fact, that's what I was, because that's what he said I was. I was definitely not a good man. But he was ordering my steps so he could get me to the point where he could make me a good man. So I am a good man today, not because of anything that I do. It's because of the righteousness of Christ in me. You are a good person today, not because of you, but because of Christ in you. That's very important. But so we're talking about divine guidance. You can't see it. You can't prove it. You look back, as I do on my salvation experience, and I think, God led every step of the way. God knew what he was doing so that I could be born again and spend eternity in heaven rather than eternity in hell. I'm thankful for that, but I couldn't see it. Are you with me? Talking about things we can't see or prove. So, spiritual truths. Our purpose in this is to know his truth. And the more we know about his truth, the more we know about him, the better we know him. The better we know him, the better we can trust him. See how it all kind of snowballs? So, spiritual truths. What are some spiritual truths? Man, we could be here all afternoon going through spiritual truths that are in the Bible, but I want to just look at a few. The creation. I can't prove God created everything. I can kind of see that he did. When you go outside and you feel the breeze and you see the trees and you look up at night and you see all the stars in the sky, you know that there was intelligent design in that. You know, it's like the story that there's a painting on the wall, there must be a painter. Well, how do you know? Because there's a painting. I love that. Duh. But look, you go outside and you look at the stars. There must be intelligent design. But can you prove it? We can't prove anything. But we believe it. Don't you believe that? Hey, look, the Bible is the only place that in the world, it's the only book ever written that tells of the origin of man. How things got here. Man's tried to corrupt that by saying, you know, that the Big Bang Theory and this and that and nothing created everything. How preposterous is that? It takes more faith to believe that than it does the Bible. I think I'll believe the Bible. The virgin birth, a spiritual truth. We already talked about it. But man, this is important, right? The virgin birth is important to what we believe. Only God could be born of a virgin. Astounding, amazing. And we believe it. The whole world celebrates Christmas, practically the whole world. It's his birth. The resurrection, that's Easter. We can't prove it. We can't see it. But we believe it. Now, here's the great thing about the resurrection. Jesus was crucified. They put him in the grave. And 3 days later, he came out, right? He walked around on the streets. People saw him. 500 people saw him at one time. After he rose from the dead. There were people that saw him individually. Just one-on-one. There were small groups that saw him. People saw him after he rose from the dead. Hey, wouldn't that be something? Now you know your faith is real, right? You got evidence. You can see it. Well, I picture it like this. This is the way. This is not in the Bible. This is my interpretation of it. There's a story in Acts where a bunch of people are gathered together, and they're looking up, and Jesus is going out from them into the clouds. You remember the story? And he says, his feet get to the clouds, and all of a sudden, he's gone. Well, this guy comes in late, and he runs up to this guy, and he says, "What are you looking at?" And he said, "You remember Jesus? You know, the one that rose from the dead?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "He just went up into the clouds." And he's looking, and he said, "I don't see him." And from that moment on, the resurrection has been by faith. But before that, all kinds of people saw it. They witnessed it. They knew he rose from the dead. And then they saw him go up into the clouds. And he said he was going to come in like manner. But the guy that was late, from that man on until today, it's always by faith. But we believe that. Don't you believe that? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living regardless of what man says. One more. Answered prayer. I don't know, but I kind of think that some people look at answers to prayer as just coincidences. Answers to prayer are not coincidences, brother. How many of you have ever prayed for somebody that needed prayer? How many of you ever asked for prayer for somebody, yourself or somebody else? How many of you ever prayed for somebody or asked prayer for somebody thinking, "God's not going to answer this. God's not going to do this." Yeah, I know. It's common, right? Right. But you know what? How foolish to spend time praying if God's not going to answer. Now look, the answer might be yes. It might be no, it might be not yet, might be something other than what we think, what we want, but God's never late. And God knows when and where and how to answer prayer. Do you believe that? Because He is the omnipotent, omniscient God, the Almighty God, and He knows what we need. And He knows how to deliver that in the right time. So keep praying. Keep asking for prayer. But we're talking about things that you can't see or prove. How do you know it's not just a coincidence and that it's God? Well, by faith, I believe that God heard me. He wants me to pray. He says He wants me to pray. He wants to hear from me. And He delights to answer prayer. So therefore, I choose to believe that He answered the prayer. Fulfillment of a promise or promises. This means prophecies. So when we look at in the Old Testament, there are a lot of prophecies about a lot of different things. So I just want to examine three about Jesus Himself. Okay. So why are we talking about prophecies? Because you can't prove it. You can't see it, but it happened. You can see in the Bible. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7:14. Our purpose in this is to know what was said beforehand that came to pass eventually. Prophecies. Look, man, there are all kinds of prophecies in the Bible. And these prophecies, we see somebody ask and we see it answered. That builds our faith. So let's look at Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Christ. 700 years he said this. And then one day, it happened. That is prophecy. It was foretold and it happened. That's not of man. Man can't do that. Man can't say something's going to... How many times have they said, somebody said, "You know what, I know the date. The Lord's coming back this date." How many times? And they're dead wrong. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. I love this one. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah, again, hundreds of years before Christ ever showed up, prophesied that the ruler of Israel, who is the ruler of Israel? Jesus. He's the king of Israel. The ruler of Israel was going to come out of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, maybe some of you think Bethlehem, you hear it all the time. I wonder if some of you think Bethlehem was this big city. Bethlehem was a tiny little place, insignificant. He says, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, all the cities and towns of Judah and Bethlehem, this no-name place, this king is going to come forth from there. And it happened. Now look, it goes on further to explain who this is. He says, whose goings forth have been from of old. That means in the past. From everlasting. That's eternal. It's Jesus. He's God. He's eternal. He's always been and he always will be. And he came from Bethlehem. Born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 53:3. Back to Isaiah. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. 4 and 5 too, please. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's talking about the cross. Again, Isaiah wrote it 700 plus years before Christ ever got here. He foretold about the crucifixion. That is where the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we were healed, and where he was bruised for our iniquities. It was the cross, and it happened. So why are we talking about this? Because you can't prove it. You can't see it. But those are promises. Those are prophecies in the Bible foretold, and then they happened. Now I want to talk about two prophecies that have not happened yet that are a couple thousand years old. They've been out there for a couple thousand. They haven't happened yet, but they will. Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13. Is this you, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? We are looking for that blessed hope. That's when he comes in the clouds to catch us away. It's that, and it's called the blessed hope. That hope that we have. We're waiting for him to come and get us. He's not just leaving us here. He's coming back for us. That's a great day. I look forward to that day. I think about that. It is the blessed hope. I don't know when that's going to be, but I wish it was today. It's coming. I think it's coming soon, but it's coming. And it was foretold 2,000 years ago. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Now this is still future. And this is glorious. This is the future. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him, that's Jesus, was called Faithful and True. And that's just two of Jesus' names. Jesus has a lot of different names. A lot of names. And here's two, Faithful and True, because he is faithful and he is true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And those armies are us. We're going to be coming back with him, and we'll be clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Sin is washed away by the blood of Christ, and he makes us clean and white. And we're going to have those robes. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible says of itself in Ephesians chapter 6, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress in fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This has happened. This is going to happen in the future at some point. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but Brother Isaac preached on this. He used this passage just a couple of weeks ago in a morning service. Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember. He used this. And he read that part right there. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Bill Don turned around to me and said, Jesus has a tattoo. And I said, I don't know about that. But what's funny about that is that's the only thing he got out of the whole message. Love you, Bill Don. But look, that day's coming. It's coming in the future. You know, so many people are tempted to think of Christ as this meek and lowly person, humble. You know, not exhibiting a lot of power and authority. He did some. But brother, there's coming a day when he is going to be the absolute authority, the King of Kings, an absolute monarch. He's coming just like it says right here. Read that. That's the way he's coming. And we're coming with him. And that's our God. That's our Savior. That's the Creator. That's everything. That's who we believe in. That's who we have concrete assurance in. And it's all by faith. We can't see it. We can't prove it. But it's true. Living by faith with a purpose means trusting God daily. Not a one-time event, but a daily walk. Trusting when things are uncertain. I have to say, I think about Jenna and Roger when I think about this, and others that are sick. You know, trusting when things are uncertain. With as many people in this room, there's got to be some financial issues, health issues, relationship problems, big decisions. Trust God in those things. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We get this backwards sometimes in Proverbs 3:5, and it says, and we trust our own understanding until we get to the end of ourselves, and then we say, okay, I'm going to trust God. It's trust God first. Living by faith with a purpose requires action. We have a purpose for being here. You have a purpose for being here. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In what? In the good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for this purpose, good works. That's what that unto means, for this purpose, good works. Good works don't save us. Good works don't get us to heaven. It's Jesus Christ, it's faith, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ that gets us there. But because we have that, we work for him. We do things for him. We have a purpose for him. James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I looked up the word faith in this verse. I mean, you know. Do you think you know what faith means? You ask people what faith means and you get all kinds of different answers. Hebrews 11:1 defines it for us, but here it says in James 2:17, the word faith literally means reliance upon Christ for salvation. That's a great definition. Reliance upon Christ for salvation. So what it's saying is your reliance upon Christ for salvation without works is dead. We need to be working. We need to be doing things. He's given us things to do, and that's what we need to do. Colossians 3:23 says, "For whatsoever things were, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Living by faith means stepping out even when you can't see the whole path, kind of like Abraham did. We're almost done. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 1. So we're talking about faith, and faith grows in what we would consider maybe bizarre ways, like through struggles. Your faith grows through struggles. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or tests or trials." The tests, the trials, the unpleasant times, he wants us to look at that with joy. Verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work." God is working on us all the time. He says, "Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect." Not perfect in terms of like God perfect, just mature. From the day we're saved, we're a baby. We're a babe in Christ. But we ought to be maturing all along the way. So, "But let patience have her perfect or mature work, that you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing." I would just say, don't despise the hard seasons. They're often spiritual training grounds, and they're meant to help us somehow. God knows what he's doing. It's best if we don't question God, but let him have his way in our lives. So let me close with this. Pray regularly. Pray this prayer: "God, what is your will for me today? Not tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Not next week, but what is your will for me today? What is your purpose for living for God today? Living by faith with a purpose. What's your purpose today?" Reflect. Where is God asking you to trust him more deeply? We could all examine ourselves and see areas where we need to trust him more. Take a step of obedience. Hey, look. Even if it's a small one, take a step of obedience. If you're in here this morning and you don't know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven, the first step you must take is to trust Christ as your Savior. He's a worthwhile, worthy Savior. He'll give you a concrete assurance. He'll give you a salvation that is eternal. It's something that he gives you, not we earn ourselves. We can't do anything to get it. Take you out of the equation. Take me out of the equation. It's what Christ did. The first step of obedience is trusting Christ for salvation. And then the next step is trusting Christ for everything else. Finally, purpose unfolds step by step as we walk with Christ. Purpose unfolds step by step. We don't have this map laid out for our next move. Our purpose unfolds as we go along. Let's be willing to follow God's will and follow God's word and live in that faith that he's given us. All right, we're gonna pray, and then Brother Carl's gonna come. We'll have a time of invitation, just a verse. If you need to make a decision or do something because of something you heard here or something that God was dealing with you before you ever walked in the door, then get that settled now. You can come up here. You can pray right where you are. Pray for somebody else, whatever it is. But we'll pray, and then we'll have a verse of invitation. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your word, for all the instruction that we have about how to live our lives, and for the faith that you gave us, your grace that you gave us, so that we could have this faith. and believe in you and trust in you completely. We don't see it. We can't prove it, but we know it's true. Your spirit bears witness with our spirit, and all of these things are true. So thank you for that. Thank you for our church. I pray that you would have your way in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 550.